Taken from John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 35 to 51. And you'll find it in your pew Bible on page 1074. That's 1074. Jesus' first disciples. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Here endeth the reading. Amen. Praise be to God.
Eyes of our hearts, that we may see wonderful things in your word, that we may see more of Christ and love him the more. For we ask it in his name. Amen. One of the things I often hear nowadays, one of the little phrases I hear from my grandchildren is, "Come and see, Grampy. Come and see. Come and see the picture I've painted. Come and see the tower I've built out of Lego. Come and see the ladybird I've made out of a stone we collected from the beach. Come and see." It's not enough for them to come and tell me about these things. They want me to go and see them, to admire them, and to tell them what I think about them. They take delight in me coming to see what they have done. And this same theme runs through the Bible passage that was read to us this morning. Come and see. I want to take you through this passage this morning and for us then to apply it to ourselves and to ask, how does this speak to us this morning? So firstly, I want us to look at the first half of the passage, the incident concerning Andrew and Simon that we read of in verses 35 to 42. John the Baptist had disciples. They were those who'd heard him preach, they'd been baptized by him, and they wanted to learn more of this one of whom John was speaking. And as we were reminded last week, with great reluctance, John baptized the Lord Jesus. Jesus submitted to baptism. And John had said on that occasion that he'd seen something of who Jesus was by the Spirit descending on Jesus like a dove. And he proclaimed to his disciples then, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And that's where we picked up the reading this morning. On the following day, as John again is preaching, speaking to his disciples, he sees Jesus walking perhaps along the bank of the river. And he points him out again to his disciples with much the same words. "Behold, look, there is the Lamb of God." And two of his disciples followed Jesus. Perhaps they were running after him, and Jesus, hearing their footsteps or knowing that they were behind him, turns around and says to them, "What do you want? What do you want?" I think they were a bit taken aback. They were perhaps not quite sure what to say. But this is what they do say. They say, "Rabbi," or "teacher, where are you staying? Where are you staying?" You see, there's one thing very clear in their own hearts. They want to be with Jesus. They want to go where he is. And they call him Rabbi, meaning teacher. They want to sit at his feet and learn something from him. And Jesus replies to them, "Come and see. Come and see." In other words, Jesus is saying to them, "Come and spend time with me. Come and learn more of me. Come and find out for yourself who I am, so that you will know something of me, not just from the things John has been saying, though they're wonderful things, but come and see for yourself. Learn of who I am." And one of those who went and stayed with Jesus that night was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And clearly he had come to see something of who Jesus is. He had come to see that Jesus is the promised Messiah, the one who fulfills all the promises and prophecies of Scripture, the one who is at the heart of all the purposes of God. He had seen that, for he dashes off to find his brother Peter, and he says, "We have found the Messiah." And with these words, he brought his brother Simon to Peter, to Jesus. In effect, he's saying to his brother Simon, "You must come and see for yourself. Come along. Come and meet this man." And Peter, Simon, does see something of the character of the Lord Jesus, as Jesus says to him, you are Simon, but from now on you're going to be called Peter, Cephas. He learns that Jesus can see right into him and assess something of who he is and give him a new name and indeed a new life. That's the first part of the passage we read together. And in the second half, we have the incident concerning Philip and Nathanael in verses 43 to 51. The next day again, we read, Jesus is on his travels. He leaves the River Jordan where John had been baptizing, and he goes to the area of Galilee. And there in the town of Bethsaida, where Andrew and Peter came from, he finds a man called Philip, and he says to Philip, "Follow me, follow me." He invites Philip also to come and learn of him. Come and see something more of who he is. And Philip also learned something of the Lord Jesus. He learned quickly who Jesus was, for he rushes off to find his friend Nathanael. And he says to Nathanael, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." What Philip is saying is, we've found the Messiah, the one of whom all the scripture speaks. It's Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph, the carpenter. Well, Nathanael's a very, it seems to me anyway, he's a very learned man. He knows his scriptures, and he's a man, as Jesus recognizes, who is of great integrity. And yet he's very skeptical when he hears these things from Philip. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth, he says? For Nathanael knows what it means that someone would be the Messiah, the king over God's people, the one who would bring in the kingdom, the one who would bless not only Israel, but who would fulfill those promises made to Abraham, the one through whom all peoples would be blessed. And Nathanael thinks, that can't be someone from Nazareth, that little town in Galilee. What does Philip say in response to this challenge? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Well, Philip is very wise, for he simply answers, come and see. Philip doesn't stand there and have an argument with Nathanael and try and prove to him from the scriptures that the man they've met must be the Messiah. Philip probably knows he'd lose the argument, because Nathanael is a wise man and understanding in the scriptures. So Philip doesn't argue with him. He simply says, come and see. Come and find out for yourself. Come and see. Spend time with this man. And so he leads Nathanael to Jesus. And Nathanael does see. He's taken aback with what he finds in Jesus. For he sees immediately through Jesus' words that Jesus knows all about him. Jesus knows where he was before Philip went and fetched him, under the fig tree. How did Jesus know that? More than that, Jesus can see right into Nathanael's heart. He says to him, you are an Israelite in whom there is no guile. There's no deceit in you. You're an honest man. You're a genuine man who's genuinely seeking the fulfillment of the promises of God. Jesus sees right into him. And Nathanael realizes immediately that Jesus is the Messiah. He says to him, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. He is all that Philip said of him. He's no longer simply heard it from someone else, from Philip. He's discovered for himself that Jesus is the Saviour. And here you might think the passage would end, but it doesn't. Because Jesus goes on to say to Nathanael, in effect, right, you've acknowledged that I'm the Messiah, but do you really understand who I am? Do you understand what God is doing in me? For he says to him, you will see greater things than you've just seen. You will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. What a strange thing to say. What on earth is Jesus talking about? Well, Nathanael was a man who knew his Bible. He knew the Old Testament scriptures. He would immediately pick up on this picture and understand where it came from, because it's a reference to the dream which Jacob had, that's recorded for us in Genesis 28. If you remember, Jacob had cheated his brother Esau out of his inheritance and out of his father's blessing. And as a result, Esau had been so angry at Jacob that Jacob had had to flee for his life and leave home. And on that first night, when he lay down in the open countryside, Jacob was a mother's boy. I dare say he'd had a nice pillow when he was at home. But now he's laid down in the countryside with a stone under his head, probably thinking that he had lost everything. He'd lost home. He'd lost the promises that were his. He'd lost the inheritance that is his. And that night, as he sleeps, he has a dream. And he sees in his dream a ladder or stairway set up from heaven to earth. And he sees angels ascending and descending on it. And more than that, he sees at the top of this stairway heaven opened. And he sees something of the glory of the Lord God. And God himself speaks to Jacob to promise him, Jacob, that cheat and liar, promise him that he, the living God, would be with him and would keep him safe and would bring him back and would fulfill all the promises that he had made to his father, Abraham, and Isaac. When Jacob woke up, he called that place Bethel. There are a number of chapels around the country called Bethel. It means house of God. But Jacob called that place in the middle of the countryside Bethel. He says, this is where God has been. And he said, it's the gateway to heaven, because he'd seen heaven open and a staircase going up to heaven. The place where heaven and earth meet. And Jesus, speaking to Nathanael, applies this picture to himself. He is the one who creates a path between earth and heaven. He is the one through whom the heavens are opened and God speaks to us. His last and final word, his best word of all, in promising us that he is with us and that he will give to us all the blessings which he has promised to his people in the Lord Jesus. I wonder what Nathanael made of it all. I wonder how much he understood. But more important for us this morning is, what do we make of it all? What do we understand from all of this? There's a lot of talk nowadays of thin places. I don't know whether you've listened to people talking about thin places. Places where they've been, where it seemed that there was such a thin veil between heaven and earth that you could almost touch heaven. Maybe you've had an experience like that. You've been in a particular place or on a particular occasion and it's felt to you that the veil between heaven and earth is so thin you could almost reach out and touch heaven. But what Jesus is saying to us is that he is the ultimate thin place, if I can put it like that. For he is the one in whom heaven and earth meet. And he is the one who brings us into the very presence of the living God. He is the one who speaks to us the promises of God, speaks to us blessing, even if, like Jacob, we feel we're so unworthy. He speaks to us blessing and grace. And it's especially true because Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one who can take away our sin and reconcile us to God and bring us into the very presence of the living God. An old hymn puts it like this, forgive the quaint words, beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand, the shadow of a mighty rock within a weary land, a home within the wilderness, a rest upon the way, from the burning of the noontide heat and the burden of the day. O safe and happy shelter, O refuge tried and sweet, O trysting place where heaven's love and heaven's justice meet. As to the holy patriarch, that wondrous dream was given, so seems my Saviour's cross to me, a ladder up to heaven. And Jesus addresses us today, as he addressed those disciples so many years ago. He says to us, come and see. come and see more of the grace and mercy and goodness of God in me. He invites us to find out for ourselves what God is like by coming to the Lord Jesus and hearing him. Whether we're skeptical and would say, surely there's nothing good about Jesus, or whether we're eager to come, he says, come and see. And it's a lifelong call. He invites us ever to come and find more of the goodness and grace of God in him. There's no other person like Jesus, and he invites you each, come and see, find out more of God through him. And when God opens our eyes, he uses us also to encourage others to come and see. Come and see more of the living God. We've watched this morning something of the work of Mercy Ships, and surely their work is an invitation to people around the world, come and see something of the character of the living God who has mercy and grace and touches and heals. Come and see for yourself. Experience something of his goodness. We sometimes want to make things too complicated and think we can only invite our friends to come and see something of Christ if we've got all the arguments worked out. And we fear that we'll not be able to argue for him, and so we give up altogether, when we need simply to invite them to come and see, taste for themselves, something of the goodness of God in Christ. Come and see. This is the call of Jesus to us, and the call that we can issue to those around us. Let's pray. Open the eyes, our eyes, Lord, to see more of your love in the Lord Jesus, and to rejoice in all that we find in him. Help us to be those who encourage others to come and see something of your glory, mercy and grace in the Lord Jesus. Amen.